Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse 10. We're actually going to look at verses 10 through 12. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be looking at our enemy. Now, here's what the great thing about the enemy, the devil, that we all have is. If we're in this room right now and somebody started smelling smoke, what would be the first thing somebody would do? Somebody would stand up and say, "Hey, I smell smoke." And where there's smoke, there's fire. And we would start to evacuate the building. We would make sure the children were out. We would double check, make sure there's nobody in the building. And we'd call the fire department because we would know where there's smoke, there's fire. But this is how deceptive the devil is. The devil is more destructive than fire. He will not stop until he kills, steals, and destroys. But that joker is so deceptive. He is so good at his lies. He is so good at what he does. He slips right into churches. He slips right into families. He slips right into jobs, to businesses. He slips right into friend relationships, destroys, leaving nothing left alive, and goes away. And the two people blame each other, never even realizing who was there. That's how good he is at what he does. But that's only in people's lives that do not know what the Bible said. If you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to begin with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read through 12. We're going to go a little further than that. But for our study today, that's what we're going to be talking about. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray that you will help us to understand that we have a spiritual enemy who hates our guts, Lord, that wants nothing good for us and would have no other way than everything that we hold dear to us has been stripped away. And God, I pray that you will help us to recognize his tactics because the Bible lays them out very clearly. But most importantly, I pray that you will help us to recognize he is defeated. And God, we don't want to lose to a defeated enemy. So Lord, we pray that you will bless this message. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you look at verse 10, the Bible starts with the word "finally." I do not believe it's like this is finally over. I believe he's gotten to the point in verse 10 when he says this is most important. And you think about the chapters leading up to this. He's talked about the ministry of God, the ministry of the Son, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's talked about the work of the saints. He's laid all the things out about families. He's talked about children, talked about all these different relationships, and he says finally. And when he says finally, he's saying if you don't understand this, then all the rest of it is not going to matter. And he says to the Christian, he says that we are to be strong. In other words, he is telling us this is a continuous action. It means it's always more. And the idea is that the more we know the Lord, the more we have knowledge of his word, the more that we should grow in strength. And the word that he used for strong is a specific word that's used for ambassadors. In other words, people who are on a mission for the Lord. This mission starts, according to Ephesians 1:7, when the Bible says that in him, meaning Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his grace that works in us. And what we realize is that when God saves us, he gives us everything we need to do everything he's called us to do. When he becomes our king, for us to lose to the devil would be an insult to him. He has empowered us because that's what the rest of the verse says. It says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And this word that's used for power is talking about the ability to do something, but the word that's used for might talks about willingness. And so what we then understand is that we have strength, we have power, and we have might. But it's through a relationship with the Lord. It's not something we do on our own. It's not something that we generate. It's something that he does for us. He tells us in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, I've said this many times and I'll stand beside it today. I'm not the smartest person in this room. But if me and you are going to fight and you have on armor and you have one spot that is not covered, where are you going to hit somebody at? Huh? I mean, where are you going to go for? You're going to go right for the very spot where they don't have any armor, because you're going to hurt your hand, right? I mean, you're not going to waste your time beating on something that's not going to do any good. And when he says for us to put on the whole armor of God, what we need to realize is that means every piece is important. And if you put on everything except one part, that's where the devil is going to attack. That's where he's going to come, because he's only going to hit where it hurts, because he is a defeated enemy. And he says that if we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that word wiles is a very interesting word. Some translations have the word tricked, but it's talking about his attempts to destroy us. Now, I would like to just offer this to you, and I'm assuming that we're all going to agree to this, but I think it needs to be said. We have to acknowledge the devil hates our guts. The devil only wants the absolute worst for us. And whatever situation the devil gets in, be it a family, whatever he gets in, he is not going to stop until it has been utterly destroyed. But I'm going to tell you, God gave Adam dominion over the earth. When the serpent came to Adam and Eve, Adam should have killed the snake. That's what he should have done. God had given him dominion over the earth. He did not exercise his dominion. You and I have to recognize it through the relationship that we have with Christ. We have dominion over the devil. We do not have to fall prey to his tricks. But he is not going to come and personally challenge us. He is always going to come, and through craftiness, through cunningness, he is never going to face us face to face. He always comes in the darkness. He always comes with cunningness rather than power. He always seeks to betray us. He always seeks to deceive us. And the thing about it is, he's so good at it, he continues to do it with us knowing that's what he wants to do. We have to realize that the Bible lays out several interesting facts that we can know, that we can understand, and we can recognize his work. The first one is, it's Ephesians 6:12. The devil is real. He is not a make-believe enemy. If you look at that verse, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities. And we have to acknowledge that we have a real enemy. He is real. He is not make-believe. And if you don't think he's real, he's going to wreak havoc in your life, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. The second one is, he is incapable of telling the truth. If you look at John 8:44 on the screen, what you realize is, if you can find the lie, you can find the devil. Right? If you take the worst situations you find yourself in, you go back in your mind. You may have to go all the way back to your childhood. But if you find the lie, you will find the devil. He always lies. He is not capable of telling the truth. That is a dead giveaway when you're dealing with the devil. Right? That's a dead giveaway right there. Because the Lord has told us he is not capable of telling the truth. He is going to lie. The next one, he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Have you ever seen something that was dead? Have you ever seen something that was stolen? And have you ever seen something that was destroyed? Do you know who was there? Biblically? That's an easy question. Do you know who was there? The devil was there. Jesus has already told us. That's what he come to do. When he shows up at your house, he got three things on his mind. When he shows up in your relationships, he got three things on his mind. When he shows up in any situation, he only wants to do three things. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. But notice what Jesus said. Man, I've come that you may have life. And not just life, but have life more abundantly. The next one, he is the accuser of the brethren, of the brothers. Revelation 12:10. The Bible just said he is the one that accuses. Well, it said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ have come. The accuser of the brethren who accuses them day and night before God has been cast down. You ever hear this voice? You're no good. You messed up. You sinned. You're sorry. You know whose voice that is? That's the devil. And listen, all he wants to do is accuse, 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 accuse. And the great thing about it is sometimes what he says might be right, but you know what? He who is in us is greater than he who is in the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we are those things, but we're only those things in the flesh, not in the spirit. Another one, you want to be able to recognize where the devil is? The next one is, I said he's the author of confusion. And the reason I say that, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says God is not the author of confusion. So you know how you can always tell where the devil is? Confusion. There is always confusion wherever the devil shows up. He is always going to cause confusion. But the Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion. What is God the author of? Peace. And listen, you can always tell where God is. When we have 100% peace in our heart, you know what that means? It means we are fully trusting in the Lord. We have placed our faith in Him. But when there is confusion, when there is chaos, we know who's there. And then the last one, he is a deceiver. I think this is the one that most people recognize. In Genesis 3:13, and the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman told the truth. She said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So in Genesis chapter 3, he's called a deceiver. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, when he's cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, it says the devil who deceived them. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's just get one thing straight. The devil is going to deceive us if we let him. The only thing that's going to keep the devil from deceiving us is knowing the truth. And the truth is, in 6:12, for many of us, the Bible says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities. And he lays this out. These are all military terms. When he says principalities, that's generals and powers, that's privates and rulers of the darkness of this age. That's the demons that are in charge of Satan's worldly business and the spiritual hosts in heavenly places. And what we have to realize is our battle is not against each other. Sometimes we think it is, but it's not. Our battle is not against our spouse. Our battle is not against our kids. Our battle is not against our kid's school teacher. Our battle is not against our boss. The battle is not against our deacon, our Sunday school teacher, or our preacher. Our battle is against the evil one, is against the devil. Now, this is what we have to realize. If you and I are in a fight, and if every time I hit you, you turn around and hit somebody else, am I ever going to stop hitting you? Never. As a matter of fact, I'll fight anybody as long as you don't hit me back. Right? That is exactly what the devil does. He comes right up to us, he bloodies our nose and gives us two black eyes, and then we turn around and attack somebody else, thinking it was them. Not even realizing who it was that has come up to us, who has caused all these problems. Now, if we're going to talk about the devil and his work, we have to acknowledge the devil does his best work through people who are closest to us. Can I get a witness? Listen, if the devil came up to us with horns, wearing a red suit, with a pitchfork, with his tail on fire, we would run and jump in the arms of Jesus. We would run, just Jesus! Boop. But when he comes through the voice of the people closest to us, we never even realize who it is. And listen, if you want to write something down and say that I said this, I'll claim this anytime, anywhere. Hurting people hurt people. You understand? And listen, you can always tell when there is a person, whether they admit it or not, on the inside who is hurting, because they leave a wake of destruction behind them. Hurting people always hurt people. And when you don't realize that, the devil is going to have a field day in your life, because hurting people hurt people. You find that person that almost always hurts you. If you know them well enough, you can get to the bottom of it. You'll find out that on the inside, they are broken, they're hurt, and they need help. Jesus in Matthew 16, when Peter took the Lord aside after he said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, handed over to the Pharisees," And Peter says to him, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Jesus was not calling Peter Satan. He knew full well who Satan is, who Satan was. But what he said to him is, you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And you and I have to be able to recognize when we hear the voice of Satan. I had a phone call this past week. I'm telling you, at the end of that conversation, I could have said, all right, Satan, I hope you have an absolute miserable day. I got to go. Bye. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I mean, it happens. I mean, people don't realize it, but we can easily do the devil's bidding for it. And what we have to realize, his number one thing he wants to do is discourage. Because what words follow discouragement? The words that follow discouragement are simply, I quit. And that's what he always wants us to do. He always wants us to discourage us to the point that we are willing to say the two words he most wants to hear, I quit. Now, remember, in the Bible, the time that the church has flourished is under persecution. That is when the church cannot be stopped. That's when it grows multiply, not just one plus one, but three times three, 10 times 10. You know, the Bible talks about 5,000 saved in one day in the book of Acts. But you know what causes the church to come to a screeching halt? Discouragement. When we don't think it does any good, when we don't think anybody's listening, when we think that it's just us against the world and we just close in and we become discouraged, I believe he's got us right where he wants us. His second trick is isolation. He separates us from the fellowship of other believers so that he can tell us anything he wants to, and there's nobody there to say, now you know that's not right. You know that's not true. How many times does he pushes us off to the side? His third trick is despair. Listen, have you ever felt hopeless, like there's just no reason? And when we do that, when we let that feeling come into our life, he's got us right where he wants us. His fourth trick and his ultimate goal is separation. You can see this in the beginning of the Bible when God created the family. God's purpose for the family is oneness. As soon as chapter 3, you read into Genesis chapter 3, the devil's plan for the family is separation. That's what he always has wanted. That's what his goal is. His goal is to separate us away from other people. When he gets us separated, he is going to start telling us lie after lie after lie. And if there's nobody there to say, you know that's not right, we're just going to believe it. Hook, line, and sinker. We're just going to take the lies in. We're just going to keep, and boy, as long as we'll listen, he's going to keep feeding them to us. But what can we say without exception about the tricks of the devil? The first one is found in John 16:33. If you look at that verse, it's on the screen. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. All right? So, when we're in Christ Jesus, what do we have? Right up on the screen. Peace, right? That's what we have. But Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have what? You're going to have tribulation. But Jesus didn't say, walk around with a stuck-out lid. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Listen, we are on the winning side. We the battle has already been won for us. We didn't do it. We just are on the winning side. The second one, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down every argument and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you realize that our struggle against Satan is won on our knees? That's where it's won. And I get these really hard looks when I say this. But listen, if you just think about the amount of time that you spend solely in prayer. And when I say that, even though I do this too, I'm not talking about driving down the road. I'm talking about when you say, God, from this time to this time is your time. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to focus on anything else. Lord, I'm going to do my devotional, and I'm going to pray, and God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give you the praise you deserve. Lord, I mean, and listen, there is power in that. That's the weapon that we've been given. The weapon that we've been given is prayer. But if we say, I don't have time to pray, I pray, no. Listen, all we're saying is devil, just come in and take what you want. That's all we're saying. We're saying, devil, yeah, I got a couple of kids, got a wife, here, you know, what? Just come on in. Just get whatever you want. And you say, that's crazy. Well, it happens every day. Right? I mean, it happens every single day. It's happening right now. And so it's not like this is some obscure thing that the Bible is telling us that none of us are like, I don't believe that happened. All of us know that it does. In Isaiah 54:17, he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Man, do you know how many weapons the devil has? Discouragement, despair, isolation. I mean, we can just name them. And he said, in every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And when we read those verses, it makes us just realize that God has given us everything we need to defeat the enemy. But what we have to acknowledge is we cannot be busy doing everything else and never get around to the very things that give us the deliverance that God wants us to have. We're never going to find victory in this world. We're never going to be able to say, I'm going to do this exactly how the world does it, and at the end of this process, I'm going to have everything God wants me to have. If we do it the way the world wants us to, we're going to get what the devil wants us to have. We have to make the commitment in our heart, God, I'm going to do it your way. Because look at verse 13. Again, he says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The word stand is not a passive. It is up. It is ready. You've got your armor on. You're looking for that guy. And as soon as you see the devil, you're going to pounce on him before he pounces on you. This is a ready position. And he says in 14, he said, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, above all. And I believe he says above all because this is one of the most important ones. He says to take the shield of faith. What's so interesting to me about the shield of faith is when a soldier was approaching a city, they would be firing darts. They would take these darts and they would dip them in tar, set them on fire, and they would fire them at these approaching military. And what these guys would do is they would take this shield and they would wet it, leather, they would wet it. And so when the dart hit, the water in the leather would extinguish the fire. But this is what's very important. When he says to take the shield of faith, the people who were walking on the front would hold their shields like that. And so as the people on the wall saw them coming, they would just see a shield, just a line of shields. But the people who were second would hold their shield up like that. And they would put it over the top of the one in front of them. And the one in the third would put it over the second, and the fourth over the third. And what would happen is it would be impossible for those people to be killed unless somebody ran. All right? And so what they were depending on, your life was dependent on someone else. And when he tells us to take up the shield of faith, you find a Christian, and there are a plenty of them, who is outside the fellowship of the church. The devil has got them right where he wants them. Could you imagine an army of organized generals, privates, all? Could you imagine that army attacking you by yourself? If you saw an army coming, you would want to be a part of an army, right? I mean, am I the only one? Like, you'd be looking for somebody that would be in there with you. And he says, you got to take up the shield of faith. And listen, we have to remember that our shield of faith is not just about us, but it's about the person beside us. Because he says, with it, you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then he says, to take up the helmet of salvation. I believe that the helmet of salvation is one of the most important parts of this armor, because our heart has been given to Jesus. But you know where the devil attacks? He attacks our mind. And the reason that he attacks our mind is because through our ear is the closest place to our mind. And so he's going to almost always verbally attack us with words, because he wants to get into our mind, get into our heart, so that we will feel discouraged. We will be like, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I didn't really. And all the time, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And we have to let that truth sink in. You see, in the next part there, it says in the sword of the Spirit, listen, the only offensive weapon that we're given is the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm going to tell y'all, this is kind of funny. Sometimes in Sunday school, we take a peek ahead at fifth and sixth grade about how many what the Bible reading is. Our Bible reading for next week is 66 chapters. Anybody want to join fifth and sixth grade Sunday school class next week? We got 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Yeah. We got 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. But you know what I told those kiddos? I'm going to read it too. You know what I told those kiddos? That's not asking too much. There is nothing wrong with us. There's me and Cain, two adults, and those kids. There's not one thing wrong with us reading 66 chapters in a week. But I don't answer this out loud. But how many people are there in here that have not read 66 chapters in your life? That wouldn't even like the thought of picking up your Bible every day this week and reading it would never have occurred to you if I hadn't just said that. And what we have to realize is all we're doing is we're saying, devil, you can come into my life anytime you want. You can just come right in here. You can get whatever you want. You just come in and take what you want. But when we understand we've been given a weapon, I will tell you, anybody, listen, if the devil comes around me, I'm going to take my sword out. I'm going to carve a J in his chest for Jesus and send him on his way. You know why I'm going to do that? Because God said I could. It's not because I'm special. It's because this word is special and this word is powerful. And when we get sick and tired of the devil coming into our life, you know where we're going to put our nose? In the book. We're going to start reading it. When Ryan tells us to memorize these verses, I heard several people talking today. But listen, when we talk about memorizing scripture, we talk about reading our Bible, we are trying to save our spiritual lives. This is not some exercise that we do that doesn't amount to anything. And what we have to realize is God has given us a weapon. And when we have that weapon, we have to use it. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 through 16, Sean's going to put the last verse, or Tim's going to put verse 16 up there on the screen. But I want to read it, and then Tim, you put 16 on it. In 16 it says, this is the devil. It says, how far you have fallen, O heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of congregation on the further sides of the north. And I will ascend to the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you have been brought down to Sheol, to the lowest part of the pit. And then look at the verse. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms? You know what we're going to do when we look at the devil? We're going to think about all the times. I mean, I've been deceived. And I mean, I have been deceived. But we're going to look at the devil. And you know what every one of us is going to do? I was deceived by that. He's so cunning. He's so crafty. And when we see him, we're going to be, phew, man. And we need to make up our minds as Christians. We're going to know what God's word says. We're going to hide it in our heart. We're not going to fall for the devil's lies. We're not going to fall for his tricks. We're not going to fall for his discouragement. We're not going to allow him to tell us things that are not true. We're going to know what the truth is. We're going to live the truth. And we're going to live in victory over him. The second one, John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Listen, we get tired of the devil in our family. We get tired of the devil in our circumstance. We don't kick the devil out. We let the Lord in. We say, Jesus, you have got to get in here and take over. Lord, this has got to be done according to your will. This has got to be done your way, because Jesus is greater. It doesn't matter. Jesus is greater. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, the Bible says, repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, it's not always, but if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil. Do you know how easy it is to be overcome by evil? I mean, am I the only one? I mean, a few people are shaking their head yes, but most of y'all aren't saying anything. Do you know how easy it is to be overcome by evil? I mean, just like boom, by evil. But you know what is astounding? The Bible tells us that the way we overcome evil is not by blistering somebody on Facebook. Right? It's not by huffing out of the church and never going back. You know how we overcome evil? You know how we overcome evil? By good. And so, our answer to evil is good. And so, the more the evil, the greater the good. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In our flesh, that makes no sense. But in the spirit, it does. And I'm going to tell y'all, most of y'all in here already know this, but for those of you who don't, the person in this world I love most committed suicide, soon to be 3 years ago. And I'm going to tell you something. At that moment, I never experienced evil like that. Like, I don't need anybody to tell me what the wrath of the devil is, because I feel very certain that I know. But I'm going to tell you something. After about 2 weeks, I knew that it was time to start praying again. I knew it was time to get back to who I was in Christ, and I knew I had to make that decision. And when I made that decision and I started talking to the Lord and really praying and really seeking his face, I made a decision. And God gives us the right and authority to do this. I made a decision. The decision I made was I was going to make the devil sorry for what he did. Amen. I was not going to quit. I was not going to stop. I was not going to slow down. That I was going to make the devil as sorry as I possibly could for what he did to the person in this world that I love the most. Amen. And I don't make no apologies for that. And as a matter of fact, I tell you, with just through the power of the Lord Jesus. Listen, when you face evil when you face difficulty, when you face heartache, when you know it's the devil, you got to make a choice. And your choice is to either be overcome by evil, or you got to find something and say, all right, Mr. Devil, I'm going to do some good. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name, and I'm going to do it for His glory. And I hope it throws cold water all over your face. And that's the attitude that we have to have. Because if we don't have that attitude, He will come into our lives. He will steal, kill, and destroy. He will use hurt from our childhood. He will use hurt from past marriages. He will use hurt from past churches. He will use hurt from current people. He don't care. He does not care. And we do not get to decide what He does, but we get to decide what we do. And we have to come to the point in our life, we live in a fallen world. People get sick. People die. Awful, terrible things happen. And we get to decide how we respond. We can ball up and quit. We can do whatever we want to do, but we got to live with what we choose. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, through the power of His blood, you choose to overcome. You choose to overcome. And you go find your greatest pain, go find your greatest hurt, go find your greatest sorrow, and say, all right, devil. And you overcome that evil with good. But all of us get to choose. I'm telling you, it's not about going off to some whatever. It's not about moving to an island where you're the only person. It's about making the decision. All right, boy, this is how we're going to play? Is this how we're going to roll? And when that dude does something to you, you don't melt, you don't run, and you don't fear. You just overcome evil with good. Father God, we love You. We thank You for just the goodness, Lord, of Your Word, Your faithfulness to Your Word, God. We thank You that, Lord, we trust in You. We believe in You. But God, we also know there's an enemy. And God, You have told us. You have given us the power. You have given us the right. You have given us the might that we can stand against Him. He has no authority in our lives except what we give to Him. He has no standing in our life except what we give to Him. God, He has no right to come into our life and steal, kill, and destroy unless we let Him in. And God, I pray that just the truth of this message would just penetrate our hearts. Help us to realize that, God, we have a say in this. We determine what happens. We determine what we do, not the devil. Our lives are not determined by him. And God, I pray that we would just be people of the book. We make the decision that we're going to know Your Word and we're going to live it out. And anytime the devil comes with a lie, we're going to know that who that is, and we're going to know what he's doing, and we're going to know what he's trying to do, and we're going to stop him before it ever starts. You are a great and mighty God. We started today with holy, holy, holy. And I just pray, Lord, that we would understand that we serve a mighty, holy God. And You've given us the ability to defeat the devil. But it's not in our own strength. It's not in our own power. And it's not in our own might. It's only through a personal relationship with You. So, God, thank You. We love You and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.